Obviously, the quarterback is very, very good. We talked this morning about how, my opinion, probably, he's the best quarterback that doesn't have a ring. Watching them play, they have a very vertical passing game, vertical-esque, different combinations and stuff. And they've got two very good tight ends, and their receivers are really doing an excellent job of doing their job. So when you watch them, it obviously starts with the quarterback. They're a top five scoring offense and probably a top six passing offense. So, it all starts with the guy behind the quarterback, behind the center. He does an excellent job of getting out of the huddle quick, seeing the formation, seeing the personnel, and, really trying to put them in the best position for what he sees to make a play. So I think it's critical that, we somehow disguise better. So Philip has to read it at the snap versus before the snap.
Ray, what were the major issues against the run in Buffalo, and how do you get it fixed?
Well, we knew going in that they were the number one rush offense in the league, so we knew they could rush the ball. I don't think we played well. And, I apologize to the defense that, I didn't obviously get them prepared to play that team that day. And it just comes down to accountability that we have to play, better football.
We've asked this before, but the issue covering tight ends seemed like it's been an issue throughout the season, and then San Diego's got a couple of guys. So how do you go about trying to combat that?
Yeah, we understand they have a future Hall of Famer in Antonio Gates, and Hunter Henry looks like an excellent replacement whenever that happens. So we just have to play better against our tight ends, meaning the tight ends that we face. Against Buffalo, we just had an error in coverage where Clay was open. But it has been an issue going back to New England and Dallas. And I just go back to saying the same thing. I know you guys probably don't want to hear the same thing always over and over. We just have to play better. It just comes down to going into the week, understanding who they have. And, again, they have a future Hall of Famer and an excellent young replacement for that future Hall of Famer. So, they won't surprise us in that. They have viable, good, dynamic tight ends. It just comes down to really at some point they're going to either be one-on-one or they're going to be two-on-one, and we have to eliminate those guys at that point.
When you talk about the touchdown for Clay, is that just a miscommunication? And it looked like there was one, I don't know if it was the Bengals game, where there was a guy for ran free for a touchdown. I mean, when that happens this late in the season, how do you address it, and how frustrating is it that it happens?
Well, it would be frustrating in game one or game 16. So, the where it happens doesn't put a weight value on, why it happened or that it happened. That's where, for me, we have to be perfect in what we do, whether it's Clay communication or whether it's Eifert communication. It's just, we know that they're going to go to the tight ends, when you have a Eifert or you have a Gates, and it's just a matter of getting honed in and understanding what's going to go on the route. But yeah, it's frustrating.
Is any of that tied to, that was one of the strengths of Jamie Collins when you guys brought him in. Is any of that tied to him still kind of learning and kind of adjusting to being here?
No, I wouldn't put that on him at all. I don't ask him to get, deep in the right corner of the end zone. Jamie's coming, and I've said it, I think, from the second week that he was here, how intelligent he is. He's a extremely intelligent football player and extremely savvy. He's got a great feel for the game. He understands what he's looking at. I mean, there's no question he gets NFL football very well. So,
Ray, we saw Travis Benjamin hurt teams for so many years here with his speed. From your end, how difficult is it to prepare for a guy who can just leave people in the dust?
Yeah, he caught the opening touchdown against the Raiders last week on a deep corner route, and that's part of the reason when I opened my statement about their vertical passing game, he's part of it that can fly, up the field, and We go into a game, obviously, we watch every game, and you try to understand who is their key guy. And one of the opening statements to our players is about their vertical passing game and the speed that they have out there. And obviously the quarterback is very good. So there's probably a reason that they're high in scoring and high in passing yards because of their skill set of their offensive players.
Maybe this is a basic question, but when you have a miscommunication, is it because guys don't know – one of the guys thinks the play call is different, or it's just kind of they read the play differently, so there's kind of some nuance to it?
There is a little nuance, and here's the difference to me on defense. On offense, there's only one guy making a check. You know, the center may point out the mic, but the tackle doesn't call a play, the receiver doesn't call a play, the running back doesn't call a play, the quarterback calls a play. So he's one guy making one check that everybody hears. On defense, one guy may make it, but he's talking to everybody, maybe even talking on the other side of the field. So just how it is, no excuse. But that's how the game works, where I'm playing cover four, quarters, cover two, Tampa two, fire zones. Everybody's got to be on the same page versus just a quarterback making a Rita Linda check, and everybody hears and goes, okay, Rita Linda, versus making a check that's got to go all the way across. But it's every team does it, so it's not like it's, well, what happened? It's just, it's not a issue with the communication that's being made. It's just everybody being on the same page.
Getting ready for the draft, what was your evaluation of Bosa? And did you think that he would be this dominant this early?
Yes, he played very well at Ohio State. How dominant, I don't know. I just talked to Emmanuel the other day, and Emmanuel has 5.5 sacks, and Joey has 7.5. And I just said something to him in passing, meaning the guy in front of you, that the rookie in front of you has two more sacks than you. He goes, I'm going to try to catch him. But Joey had obviously at Ohio State, he was a very dominant 4-3 hand in the ground defensive end, and that's what he's playing for. San Diego is playing with his hand in the ground. And Joey was a smart player and obviously big, strong, tough, fast, and had a great, I think, passion for football. So, you kind of hope as you grade players, you kind of watch them because you want to be able to evaluate yourself first. You know, did I get it right? Did I get it wrong? Why did I get it right? Why did I get it wrong? And he's playing at a high level right now.